This is going to be fun. We are going to spend the rest of the show today with a true New England delight, Dori Greenspan. You might remember her from many conversations we have had with her on this show, especially during the pandemic, because food, or from the fact that she's kind of a big deal. She is a five-time James Beard Award-winning author of 14 cookbooks, New York Times magazine columnist, writer of the XOXO Dori newsletter on Bulletin, and our baking guru. She is now out with her latest masterpiece just in time for the holidays, Baking with Dori, sweet, salty, and simple. Dori Greenspan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
You know, it's a good thing it's radio because I'm blushing.
Well, you should blush. And listen, I just want to tell listeners to call with their favorite holiday recipes out there. This book is gorgeous. 150 new recipes in here. Jamie baked cookies. I can smell them. What's your favorite holiday recipe for baking? What's sweet, salty, and simple? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Dori, I do hope it's okay. Jamie Bologna is here, producer Jamie Bologna, right in front of us. He tried your newly remastered World Peace Cookies, the 2.0. Chris Siderick, one of our other producers, made the original last time you were here. So can we welcome Jamie?
Please. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Dori. I'm trying one right now.
He's got his mouth full.
I was just going to say, you sound like a man with cookies in his mouth.
These cookies really are the solution to all global conflict. They're delicious. They're incredible. And
I love to think that peace is now reigning in the control room.
It is. It is. So, Jamie, I want to take a bite of a cookie because you've been taunting me with this smell. I'm going to take the one with the salt on top while you start talking to Dori about this
recipe. So, Dori, I made these. I did the freezer thing. You know, you're supposed to, according to the recipe, make them into logs and then freeze them. And I baked them today at WBUR. But I did want to ask you, why mess with perfection, right?
Okay, like,
you had these perfect World Peace cookies, and now you made 2.0 versions.
So let's just back up. For those people who have not had a World Peace cookie, Jamie, you really should describe it because you've just eaten it, but it's a chocolate cookie that's kind of a cross between a shortbread, a French shortbread, and an American chocolate chip.
No. It is a cross between chocolate and heaven. Let's be clear.
Oh, it's too bad I can't rewrite my book. I want that.
I'm writing it. Cookbook 15.
I have a pencil. I'm writing it right now. Chocolate and heaven. Okay, so forget the shortbread part. It's chocolate, and it has chunks of chocolate in it. And you could use chips, but it's really, the cookie is so much better when you choose a chocolate that you really like, a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, and I got Ghirardelli 60% and just great. Chopped that up, made a total mess of my kitchen. There was chocolate flakes everywhere.
And even some in the cookies.
Oh, yeah.
But see, I love when you chop chocolate, you get all different size pieces, and it means that every bite has a different amount of chocolate. And so it just makes you want to take the next bite. The other thing that's in the original and 2.0 is salt. And when I got this recipe, it was the pastry chef Pierre Hermé in Paris who gave me the recipe more than 20 years ago. Tasting that salt was revolutionary. And so, Jamie, back to your question, why mess with perfection? Yeah. Because the original is perfection. I feel like Mary Berry or Prue Leith from the Great British Baking
Show.
These are
appropriately proved and appropriately baked.
That's right.
So I was a friend of mine, Charlotte Druckman, was writing a book called Women on Food. And she asked me if I would make a version of the World Peace cookie for her book. And I said no, because I said just what you said. Why mess with something that's perfect? But the more I thought about it, the more I thought maybe I could, and I've never done this before, find ingredients that matched human characteristics. And so I wanted to think about the characteristics that I really admire in women, and I wanted to find ingredients to match. And they had to also, you know, fit in with the cookie recipe.
Sure.
And so I put in some rye flour for earthiness, for groundedness. I put in a little bit of chili pepper for that bit of unpredictability.
That nice kick.
Yeah, nice little kick. And I added cocoa nibs for strength and freeze-dried raspberries because they have, they're kind of sassy. They're a little tart, a little tangy, not as sweet as they are tart. And I thought that would be fun. And I told Charlotte I wouldn't do it unless I loved the cookie. And I ended up loving the cookie.
So, Dre, I'm going to interrupt for a second and just say to listeners, 1-800-423-8255, have you cooked from one of Dory Greenspan's cookbooks? What's your favorite recipe? And if you're thinking about something sweet or salty or cayenne peppery that you're going to bake this coming week, tell us about it. Call us with your favorite recipe, your favorite food. So, Dory, this conversation you and Jamie have been having has been somewhat metaphorical because you had not intended to improve on the world cookie and you had not intended to create another cookbook after the last one that we talked with you about, Everyday Dory. And here we are with a new cookbook, not just like five recipes, 150 new recipes. So what happened, Dory?
You make me sound so untrustworthy. You can't take me at my word. I thought that after the last book, Everyday Dory, I was finished. Because I liked the idea of a baker's dozen. It was my 13th book. But then I had the scone in Santa Barbara. I put it on Instagram. A friend DM'd me and said, you should write a savory baking book. And I started.
Is that the cheddar scone that's in the book?
That's the one. Mm. That's the one that started it all. It
just looks beautiful.
It's also delicious. As I worked, the recipes kept getting sweeter and sweeter. I kept veering from total savoriness into a mix of recipes for sweet things and for salty things. And I also was able to do a breakfast chapter, which is something that I haven't done since Baking from My Home to Yours came out 15 years ago.
So, Dory, the reason I also wanted to ask you that question about why take perfection and change it, because it seems like some of the recipes that you have here in this book do exactly that. It's the classic chocolate chip cookie and you take it in a new direction. Babka, you know, you have these daily breads and tarts, things that we sort of might have known how to make, but then you've tweaked them and played with them. And I'm just wondering, was that a guiding principle for this book?
You know, I think that it's been something I've loved to do from the start. So nothing makes me happier than giving somebody something that I've made and having them look at it like, yeah, I've had that before. And then take a bite and be surprised by something. I love when there's an element of something unexpected in what we make. And I love to play in the kitchen. So you mentioned the babka. It's based on brioche dough, one of my favorite bread doughs. And I use it to make a sweet chocolate babka. But then as I was working on the chocolate babka, I thought, you know, babka doesn't have to be sweet. It could be savory. And so
Blasphemy.
Cheese, right? And I made these cheese swirls and I put some savory streusel on top. And that's, for me, that's the fun of being in the kitchen, of being able to look at something and say, what if I added this? What if I changed the shape? What if I tried another flavor? And to just keep playing.
And Tiziana, that's what I loved so much about this book, going through it, is like, so Dory, you probably know this, my cooking style is a little more Everyday Dory, your previous book, a sort of shoot from the hip, kind of throw some stuff in here, try that. And baking has never felt like that to me. And so that's why I just love this book so much.
It also, sorry, Dory, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you.
So, Dory, it also got me in trouble a little bit trying something new. I got in a little bit of trouble with Jamie. Jamie can tell
you. You know, we do these baking segments from time to time, Dory. We all try to bake something, bring it in here to the studio. And here I am. I've got these beautiful World Peace Cookies 2.0. And Tiziana's got nada.
Because, because I made the cornbread, the whip it up quick cornbread. And I finished it and then noticed at the end of the recipe that it basically said, you need to eat this right now. for it to be good.
Sure.
And I made it on Monday night. So let's talk about that, right? Because when we really invest ourselves in cooking, we think there needs to be a long tail to that. That stuff was good till the next morning and had to be eaten. We did. But what if...
Much to my chagrin.
Yeah, so talk about that a little bit.
Well, first of all, I feel like, Jamie, if you want to be angry at someone, I think I should take the blame.
Never. Never at you, Dory.
Well, I'm the one who wrote Eat It Now. So you could have let it sit. But the fact is that cornbread really is good when you've just made it. You could have frozen it. Maybe it's not all my fault.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Sacrilege to freeze a cornbread.
But her family enjoyed it, so that's fine.
That's
okay,
right.
But here's the big question. Did you love it? Did your family love it?
Yeah, it went fast. And here was part of what I wanted to
bring
back
out. What was in it, Tiziana?
Yeah. I want to bring out, because, Dory, there were a couple of things. I am used to a sweet cornbread. So
okay.
To your point about savory, I put bacon in. I used chive. You said you could use an herb. I went with chive. But it was the cayenne pepper. And when I first saw that, I thought, cayenne pepper in the cornbread. Hmm. But wow, did that create something special.
I'm so glad you liked it. You know, I love playing with sweet and savory. So there's some sugar in the cornbread, and I have it as an optional ingredient, and I give you a range. But I love when there's like a slight little bit of sweetness, and then you get the heat from the cayenne and from the black pepper. When you put bacon, bacon is kind of sweet savory in its own way. I think that's really, because that's what keeps you interested. That's what keeps you coming back for another bite.
Now, Dory, one of the things that we both noticed was needing to go out. There were a lot of special ingredients. I don't tend to carry buttermilk or cornmeal. Jamie, there were a couple of things you...
Yeah, like cacao nibs, as you were talking about
earlier. Well, yeah, the 2.0 has some...
The 2.0 or even...
Special stuff, yeah.
I felt embarrassed that I couldn't find freeze-dried raspberries at the first two supermarkets I stopped at, but I eventually...
There's a shortage!
There you go. Blame it all on the shortage. There we go. But I did find myself sort of running around a little bit to get stuff. What do you recommend to people?
Especially, Dory, to add to that, people who just, they don't have the money or the time for really complex baking.
Yep. So I feel like it's the World Peace 2.0 is, I feel, more an exception than the rule in this book. Because, well, I'll tell you in a second, but about the buttermilk, and I don't know if I've written it here or not, you know, you can use yogurt and just thin it with a little bit of milk, or you can use milk and add a little lemon juice to it. So buttermilk is an easy one to sub for. So when I started this book, I've worked on it for 3 years. I thought this was going to be a book where I was going to get to travel around and meet home bakers and professional chefs and talk with them about what they were doing.
And come on to local public radio shows and talk about it in studio. Yeah.
Yeah. But that, and I was able to do that in the beginning. Then it was the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was home like everyone else. And so most of the recipes were developed during the pandemic and are supermarket recipes. My, you know, it was, this is, I can think of this as my Stop and Shop book. But it is true that there are some special ingredients, and particularly in the World Peace 2.0, expensive ingredients.
Yeah, these flakes of salt that are on top of here, Tiziana, these are like imported from France, kind of.
They taste like it.
Yeah.
Good. But again, I had to run around.
But I'm sorry you didn't call me, because I would have given you some ideas for, you know, a little bit of kosher salt would have given you not as pretty. You'd have to use a little less because it's not as salty. But
let me be clear, I was happy to do it. This is a beautiful thing to enjoy.
Well, but I feel like there are ways to substitute. There are ways. I mean, in the old days when I started writing cookbooks, we didn't have Google. We didn't have it's 30 years. My first book was published 30 years ago. We didn't have computers. Now I feel like there are resources for, okay, I don't have buttermilk. Tell me, Baker Google, what can I substitute for it? And there are ways to make things that you love. I give a lot of variations in recipes because I know what I love and I know what other people might want. You know, I know what I love and I know that other people might want to play with and change up things. So, yeah, there are some that are, chocolate will always be expensive.
So, Dori, I'm going to just quickly ask you about page 273 of the cookbook, which, of course, you probably don't know what
that is right
in front of you. But it is a picture of a pumpkin pie and the word marshmallow appears. And given that we have Thanksgiving next week, tell us about marshmallow with pumpkin pie.
Well, so is that not – it's when I was growing up, that's what the bakeries had. Did you, is it not?
No, of course, I was raised in Michigan, Dori. I've been in Boston about 25 years, but I was raised in Michigan. I was not familiar with marshmallow with my pumpkin pie. Am I just regionally inept?
I mean, everything we ate was from the Italian-American palate, so pumpkin pie was not on the agenda.
So tell us about marshmallows with pumpkin pie.
Well, it's a little bit like marshmallows on top. It's almost exactly like marshmallows on top of mashed sweet potatoes at Thanksgiving. Not Michigan?
That one is. All right. Yeah. So how do you do it? Just tell people a little bit about how do you incorporate the marshmallow?
You don't incorporate them. Don't. Put them on top.
There you go. And bake them, melt them. Straight up?
Yeah, you can. If you have a blowtorch, you can use that.
Or they can just my back pocket.
Under the broiler for a little. Julia Child said every woman needs a blowtorch.
I love it.
They can go under the broiler. I once tried to make something, a cake with marshmallows incorporated. Didn't work. And I kept trying. And then somebody who knew more about science than I did said, it's impossible.
Don't try.
So, Dori, can I ask you a question? Because you mentioned a little earlier in the conversation, it's been 30 years that you've been writing these cookbooks.
Yeah.
And what's the next 30 years? What's next for you, Dori?
I don't know. You know, look, and Jamie, as you and Tiziana know, you can't trust me. Whatever I tell you.
Well, that's why we want it on tape so we can hold you accountable.
Yeah, I might change my mind.
So what are you baking next week?
So I'm doing some kind of off, just a little different recipes for Thanksgiving. I'm making in fact, I have it made and it's in the freezer, the cocoa cranberry Linzer tart. So it's two rounds of essentially chocolate cookie dough, spiced chocolate cookie dough, and it's put around in the bottom of a cake pan, and then it's a homemade cranberry raspberry jam, so it's a layer of that, and then the cocoa cranberry Linzer cookie dough, the cocoa cookie dough on top, because I've never seen chocolate at Thanksgiving. And I think I want to start a movement that we need chocolate in Thanksgiving.
And you said you're going to do a couple of things. That is the Linzer, which sounds delicious. I'm wondering what else is going to appear. Something maybe on the more savory side, since that's where you started with this cookbook.
So I will be making the cornbread that your family ate. That's for sure.
I've got to make that too, I guess, because I want to try it.
Yes.
And I'm going to make an apple galette, which is not savory, except that. So I've made a lot of apple galettes, and in this book, this happened quite by accident. I had made a tarte tatin that wasn't very successful, and so you make a tarte tatin by making caramel and cooking apples in the caramel. And so,
Dori, we're going to run out of time. So you know.
So it's just applesauce. It's caramelized applesauce with apples on top and a very rustic crust around it.
Fantastic.
So that'll be on my Thanksgiving table, too.
That sounds good.
Dory Greenspan here with Jamie Bologna and me, New England-based James Beard Award-winning author. We'll have recipes on our website, radioboston.org. That's our show for today, folks. Thanks.
Thank you.